Imhotep. Peace and blessings. This is Mut Nekbet Nefer Nertati Ra, and I welcome you again to House of Nekbet. We are continuing our review of Ma'at, cosmic order, and the course correction of character, as well as Ma'at being the square upon which community stands on, and how to uphold oneself accountable for how we live in our day-to-day existence, and preparing ourselves to become beneficial ancestors to our descendants. I am continuing to give thanks, honor, and praises to my ancestors, all of my ancestors whose names that I do know of the light, whose names that I do not know of the light, all of the great tribes of my ancestors, all of the priests and priestesses of my bloodline, the medicine women and men of my bloodline, the healers of my bloodline, the seers of my bloodline, the psychics of my bloodline, the physicians of my bloodline, the metaphysicians of my bloodline, of the light, all of my ancestors and spirit guides who walk with me on a daily basis. I thank you for guiding me. I thank you for providing space for me to remember and recall who I am through who you were. I thank you for speaking to me. I thank you for directing me. I thank you for pointing me in the right way in which to uphold myself and to be. Thank you for intuitive awareness and mindfulness of how I can do things, how to do things. Thank you for the silent communications and sometimes the loud communications. I thank you so much, ancestors. I give thanks for Jehudi and his wisdom. I give thanks for Ma'at and her order and structure and guidance. I give thanks for Shashat for the words to embody and to embrace and to understand wisdom as a tool. Wisdom as a tool to utilize, to grow from, to evolve from. I thank you. I give thanks to my living teachers. I give thanks to the teachers who are assigned to me in this lifetime. I give thanks, honor, and praises to all of my spiritual court and celestial ancestors who have assigned me to this lifetime. I give thanks, honor, and praise to you. So the past 48 hours, I have been thinking about African-centeredness. I've been thinking about Ma'at. I've been thinking about the why and the what. And, you know, this part of priestesship, of being a priestess, is not just about saying you're a priestess. It's not about initiating people. There is not a race, you know. It is truly a marathon on this path and on this journey of life, and what spirit and deity has assigned you to do in your life, your life's purpose. And I was thinking about African centeredness and what it means to be African centered, and I was thinking about this for two reasons. The first reason I was thinking about is because I have seen through social media platforms, mainly TikTok, because I feel like TikTok is basically like a school. There's so many people that are out there researching and holding debates and sharing information. Like you can probably go into a deeper hole than you can with YouTube, with TikTok. And so recently there was a young black woman. I do not know the full details. I don't know why or how she got here. I'm just giving a summary. There was a young black woman who recently was propositioned by a man, and she basically told the man, I don't know what kind of word she used, but she basically told the man that she wasn't interested, and the man threw a brick at her face. And so This is not the first time that I've heard of a Black woman being assaulted, even taken further to where she's no longer in this realm, by a man who is not in favor of her objecting his pursuit of her, right? Of like him like trying to get in, whatever, get her number, whatever. And so there are debates around this topic of black men needing to protect Black women. And there are the facilitators of these debates speaking about how Black men have changed and no longer are protecting Black women, and Black women are constantly protecting and standing in the forefront and holding down Black men. But basically, again, we're not getting that reciprocity, which is a law of Ma'at, an attribute of Ma'at. And so there are some Black men who have their arguments about how, you know, they have to kind of look out for themselves because society treats them a certain kind of way. And it's like, how do I know that if I have a woman's back that she's not going to treat me whatever way? So there's a lot there. I'm not going to go too much into it, but hearing that conversation started to make my brain spiral. And then hearing other debates about how Black individuals, specific one small group, again, this is just one platform that I'm listening to, and I'm not saying this is across the board, but just this particular debate was talking about how they did not want to claim the Black community and I was thinking about the misplacement of what it means to have a culture. And there was a third comment that I heard about how Black culture, Black American culture, is really not a culture. It is almost like an amalgamation of things given to us that we've had to recreate our own voice because our original voice was stripped away from us, right? And every indigenous group of people in some way has been touched by colonialism, in some way has been touched by it. However, for myself, my personal opinion is that Black Americans and African Americans in the diaspora have suffered the worst part of it because we have literally been uprooted from our roots. So when you think about other indigenous ethnicities, they still have access to their culture, their spiritual practices, and their language. Whereas Black Americans do not know what tribes they come from. They couldn't even tell you. They don't know the language. They don't even understand what it is. If they were to hear it, maybe some, not all, it may not resonate with them. And Black Americans definitely do not fully embrace Africanness when it comes down to religion, spiritual practices, and traditions. For most Black Americans, and I can say this for myself as a Black American cisgendered woman, I'm gonna use all the PC terms here, I have family members that do not believe in what I practice. They think that it's witchcraft. They think I'm a witch or, you know, whatever else. That is not really any of my business. However, I associate that with the ignorance of being far removed from what Africanness is to its core, not what is projected to be in the media, not what is projected to be by Christianity claiming it to be the devil in order to quote unquote save lives through the essence of Christ consciousness, which Christianity I have nothing against it at all. I feel like any way that you need to serve God, however it resonates with you, you do it, because that is your personal connection. But a large reason of why I shifted from Buddhism into a more African traditional spiritual system is because I needed a full body connection to who I was. I felt that my personal Juniper is munching heavily on her food because she just wants to be in here. She's being nosy. Anyway, I wanted to feel connected to where I came from. I wanted to know, where do I come from, right? And something inside of me, whether it have been my ancestors or my spirit guides, were telling me to learn about Africanness in a way that you can connect with it, because we will start to show you from there, right? And so when I hear individuals talking about they don't want to be a part of Blackness and how disconnected Black men and Black women are from each other, what I hear is us as a group of people having no identity and not knowing where to ground our feet in order for us to be able to move forward and work together. And this is what I mean by African-centeredness. And this is why, as a practitioner of an African-centered spirituality, specifically Kemeticism, because Ma'at's principle is in every African spiritual system. It just depends on the branch of spirituality that it may be something different, right? So, and Kemet is Neferbit, good character, Ma'at, order and structure, right? And it's not just these things that we are saying on a daily basis. It is literally the core belief system of what we have as a community that upholds us. I mentioned earlier about how Ma'at was used by our ancestors so that way we could police ourselves, right? We could police ourselves. We could be held accountable for our own actions and how what we did, how it affects our group, our tribe, our community, and how we should be held accountable if we do anything that is going to harm the group or the community. And I'm going to read something from, this is Ma'at Philosophy, or Introduction to Ma'at Philosophy, by Muwatta Ashby. And if you have the book, or if you get the book, it's on page 138 at some point, if you ever get it. But it said, this law of karma, or this law of karma. So Ari in Medu-Netzer is action. Karma is also known as action. This law of Ari or karma is also sustained by the goddess Ma'at. Ma'at is the one who provides the relentless order of the universe, which allows the world with its land, water, air, and fire to sustain human existence. And it is Ma'at who provides these for the fortunate and less fortunate alike, without discrimination. We must understand that fortunate or unfortunate, prosperous or adverse conditions arise from one's own actions. This law of Ari or karma is also sustained by the goddess Ma'at. Thus, those who are less fortunate today are so due to wrong actions of the past. However, everyone can turn around a negative situation if there is correct action in the present. Also, those who are prosperous today were not always prosperous. In this lifetime or a previous one, they experience adversity and so should develop humility and compassion. They should lend a helping hand as they would do their own kin, because every human being, every plant, animal, stone, particle of air, etc. is exactly that, your kin. So eradicate the seeds of humanity no, excuse me, eradicate the seeds of violence in your heart through humility, spiritual knowledge, and selfless service to humanity. Do not allow your mind to entertain thoughts of greed. Place it in the service of some noble cause, which will purify your heart and engender a spiritual movement, which will lead to enlightenment, the spiritual resurrection. That makes me think about how, like, my elders are always talking about how we're in a spiritual war, right? We're in a spiritual war, in a war to identify ourselves, in a war to feel empowered about who we are, in a war to feel empowered to speak up for ourselves. And this goes into this next paragraph. Nonviolence also means speaking out against injustice while harming no one. It is an expression of your inner understanding of the oneness of humanity. No matter what violence you have participated in the past, you must realize that you have the potential to hatred and greed. There is no real criminal, only a soul which has become deluded into the idea of egoism and separation. Sin, quote unquote, is an error, and I'm using that word lightly, for those that might be feel some kind of way about it. Sin is an error to be corrected and not a blot which will haunt you forever. Unrighteousness of the past can be counteracted with corrections or with correctness and righteousness of the present. Therefore, begin today on the road to truth, nonviolence, justice, and peace by first listening to the teachings and then studying and practicing the teachings for the rest of your life. So there's number 7 and 8 in the 10 virtues of Ma'at. One is, I will not hold resentment under the experience of wrongdoing. I will not bear injury or resentment under, basically, you know, if someone does something to you, or if someone says something against your name, you're not going to hold resentment in your heart, because everyone has an opportunity to change who they are, what they are. And you understand your connection to each other. And it gives you an opportunity. Earlier, I had stated about how you have to really think about what you say to people. And I'm not saying you have to walk on eggshells around certain individuals so that way you're not out here breaking people's faces or hurting their feelings. But you should understand what it means to speak from a way of righteousness versus just blatantly saying things that are hurtful and can really cause someone intentional pain. We're not doing that. But there are a few things that made me think about Ma'at and what it means to have communal responsibility, to be responsible for the community, to be a product of your community, and to be an asset to your community. And for those of us who have been practicing African spirituality for some time, whether we've been in it for a few years, just starting to read and starting to study and starting to get into things, and we're thinking about this way as a source of healing, feeling more connected to ourselves, wanting to be more natural. And I'm not talking about wokeness. I'm not talking about being conscious. I'm talking about in a way for you to live your life where you are connected to the root of who you are. You are connected to your ancestors. You are mending that thread that has been severed over generations of misplaced awareness of your own culture. That's what I'm talking about. For those of us that have been practicing this, who live it every day, who study, who absorb it, who apply it to our lives, where we do our best to be an example for others around us, there are a few examples that I was thinking about that gave me more clarity on what that means to be African-centered. And I'm going to read a couple of excerpts. The first one is from the book Revolutionary Suicide by Huey P. Newton. And if you don't know who Huey P. Newton is or was, he was, if not the founder, one of the forefathers of the Black Panther movement. And I started studying this about Black Panthers like in my early 20s, because someone had asked me to become a Black Panther. And naturally, when you don't know, when you're ignorant because of you listen to the media and all that kind of stuff, the only thing I knew about the Black Panthers was that they were considered to be a national threat to the Americas, which is, that's another thing, right? But I want to know. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to figure it out. What is it? What were they about? And Revolutionary Suicide, Huey P. Newton, this is on page 122 if you ever read the book. So it says, October 1966, Black Panther Party platform and program. What we want, what we believe. Number one, we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our Black community. We believe that Black people will not be free until we are all able to determine our destiny. Number two, we want full employment for our people. We believe that the federal government is responsible and obligated to give every man employment or a guaranteed income. We believe that if the white American businessman will not give full employment, then the means of production should be taken from the businessmen and placed in the community, so that all people of the community can organize and employ all of its people and give a high standard of living. Number three, we want an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our Black community. We believe that this racist government has robbed us, and now we are demanding the overdue debt of 40 acres and two mules. 40 acres and two mules were promised 100 years ago as restitution for slave labor and mass murder of Black people. We will accept the payment in currency, which will be distributed to our community, to our many communities. The Germans are now aiding the Jews in Israel for the genocide of the Jewish people. The Germans murdered 6 million Jews. The American racist has taken part in the slaughter of over 50 million Black people. Therefore, we feel that it is a modest demand that we make. We want decent housing. This is number four. We want decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. We believe that if the white landlords will not give decent housing to our Black community, then the housing and the land should be made into cooperatives so that our community, with government aid, can build and make decent housing for its people. Number five, we want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present-day society. We believe in an educational system that will give our people a knowledge of self. If a man does not have knowledge of himself and his position in society and the world, then he has little chance to relate to anything else. Number six, we want all Black men to be exempt from military service. We believe that Black people should not be forced to fight in the military service to defend a racist government that does not protect us. We will not fight and kill other people of color in the world who, like Black people, are being victimized by the white racist government of America. We will protect ourselves from the force and violence of the racist police and the racist military by whatever means necessary. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of Black people. We believe we can end police brutality in our Black community by organizing Black self-defense groups that are dedicated to defending our Black community from racist police oppression and brutality. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States gives a right to bear arms. We therefore believe that all Black people should arm themselves for self-defense. Number eight, we want freedom for all Black men held in federal, state, county, and city prisons and jails. We believe that all Black people should be released from the many jails and prisons because they have not received a fair, impartial trial. Number nine, We want all Black people, when brought to trial, to be tried in court by a jury of their peer group or people from their Black communities as defined by the Constitution of the United States. We believe that the court should follow the United States Constitution so that people, Black people, will receive fair trials. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution gives a man a right to be tried by his peer group. A peer is a person from a similar economic, social, religious, geographical, environmental, historical, and racial background. To do this, the court will be forced to select a jury from the Black community from which the Black defendant came. We have been and are being tried by all white juries that have no understanding of the average reasoning man on the Black community. Number 10, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as our major political objective, a United Nations supervised plebiscite to be held throughout the Black colony in which only Black colonial subjects will be allowed to participate for the purpose of determining the will of Black people as to their national destiny. When in the course of the human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Now, we have 10 attributes of Ma'at, and I just went over 10 points from the Black Panther Party and platform, ultimately asking for support to govern themselves, govern us as Black bodies, because we are a part of our own community and we know what we go through on a daily basis, to be able to hold each other accountable and protect each other and provide each other with the tools to be able to sustain in society and understand that we have a role in society, we have a place in society, we have a purpose in society, and we have an ability to support it in a way because of how it supports us. That is African-centeredness. To say, okay, as a community, there are some things that are no longer working for this structure and we need to make some changes because everyone is not being treated fairly. Some people are being leaned towards more than others. Some people have more food going to their houses and you have some people who are not eating at all. What are we doing? We need to make some changes. Now, I am going to go over the African cosmology of the Bantu Congo, principles of life and living. And hopefully there's a lot more. There's not 10, there's more than 10. But I'm gonna go over these. So this might be a little bit of a longer recording, but that's totally fine with me. So this is on page 98, if you ever get this book, African Cosmology of the Bantu Congo, Bantu Congo, Principles of Living a Life. Let's examine these few proverbs, Congo thoughts related to the concept of kanda, community, thoughts which are frequently repeated within the community about the community. So kanda, we hear the movie Wakanda, Wakanda forever, Wakanda forever. And kanda is an actual word. It is a Bantu word that means community. So Wakanda forever, the community forever. And that movie, just to digress a little bit, I didn't watch the second one, I just watched the first one. But that movie was about making right choices for the community and protecting the community from certain outside forces and inside forces, so everyone can be sustained and the community can sustain its traditions and its way of living in order for that community to continue to thrive. Okay, so the concept of kanda, community thoughts, which are frequently repeated within the community about the community. I am not going to say the Bantu words because I don't speak the language and I don't want to mess it up horribly. So I'm just going to go over some of the precepts here. Number one, the community or society did exist before you. The community leads everything, for it is the head. What is good for the community is good for its members. Everybody is a social product. One accepts the community as it is, not as one wants it to be. Number two, the community massages its members' organs. The community solves community problems. Number three, the community leadership prevents problems and conflicts within the community. It is the responsibility of the community to create laws for its members. Ma'at. I just put that in there. It did not say that in this reading, but ma'at being the laws of community. Number four, if you know the community, you know God. God is only visible through our attitude vis-a-vis our neighbors. Our existence creates God's existence. Okay. Our very being is the creator. Our very likeness is the creator, and vice versa. Remember, like back in the day when you were able to go to your neighbor's house and you could knock on the door and ask for like butter or sugar. Even for myself, like I had neighbors, like if my mom wasn't home from work just yet, that I can go knock on their door and go into their house until my mom got home, because I knew that they had my best interest at heart. They knew my mother. You know, we watched out for each other. That's not so much of a precedent now. Like it actually doesn't really exist unless, you know, maybe you've been living in your neighborhood for a very long time. But neighborhoods don't really exist so much anymore. Okay. Number five, God, in parentheses, exists in the community. The natural principle of change transmits itself perpetually in us through the community continuum. Number six, tell me the old principles or theories in order to understand the new ones. All educational process is gradual. Don't reverse the historical truth. History accumulates itself. One can only build on old materials. Natural laws are irreversible. To be born, one has to be conceived. Before laughter, there is funny hearing. Number seven, the community's goods are not your goods. Public wealth is not private wealth. Don't put your hands upon public goods or wealth. Number eight, within the community, everybody has the right to teach and be taught. Education is a matter of reciprocity. That word reciprocity is an attribute of ma'at. True knowledge is acquired through sharing. Number 9, principles, theories, in parentheses, of the community are also national principles. What belongs to the community belongs to the nation. What is private to a group is public to all groups. Individual productions contribute to community wealth. Number 10, the community as well as the nation is not built outside of a social system. A society is its concepts, be they political, philosophical, social, or economical. Number 11, the community is a channel people go to. Die in parentheses. People come, are born in parentheses. So our communities are where we have reincarnate. We reincarnate into our communities, right? Our communities are set into place when you think about like your family and being reborn into certain families. Oh, that baby been here before, right? That's an old soul. Mm-hmm. She looked like so-and-so. Why you have a picture of one of your great, 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 great that you have access to, and you end up looking like a spitting image of that person. The community is a channel for people to go, die in parentheses, and people to come, are born in parentheses. The community renews perpetually its members and its principles accordingly to its systems, conforming to the natural laws that of birth and death. The theory of, I'm going to try this, Maquinda Maquiza, what goes will come back. The perpetual process of change through Dingo Dingo. The constant back and forth, flow, living energy. And this last one I'm going to say, number 12, don't seek for the center of social ways if you don't belong within the community and its systems. Do not force open somebody else's system's doors when it is not open to you. The study of a system is possible only if it opens itself. And so this makes me think about how much some of us in this society, this Western society, try so hard to assimilate to a culture that was not fit for us to assimilate in. It was not structured for us to assimilate into it. And not only that, it was created for us to be unable to long term. So there was nothing wrong with us being able or having or developing stronger awareness and knowledge in our own roots, so that way we can create these systems. So when you think about Ma'at, all of this is talking about Ma'at having order, being accountable for who we are in our society and how we navigate through our society, and building spaces where we all feel protected, guided, seen, heard, supported, loved, taught in our society, where we learn about ourselves and we learn about the power of who we are. There is nothing wrong with that. So when you think about African centeredness, it is layers to it. It is a system. It is a system of how we navigate in our group, in our ethnic group, in our racial group. And that is not to say that anyone is more superior or inferior. It is literally just saying, I belong to this tribe. This is my tribe. These are my people. And this is how our tribe conducts itself. When I think about hearing Black individuals saying that they don't want to claim Blackness, we should want to claim it. This is all rich history. This is all powerful. And if we don't have leaders, sometimes we have to lead ourselves. These virtues of Ma'at, what did we say in the beginning? Control your thoughts. Control your actions. Have devotion to your purpose. Have trust in the ability of your teacher to teach you the truth. Have faith in yourself to know the difference between right and wrong. Have faith in yourself to will the truth. Be free from resentment and persecution under wrongdoing. And then there are two that we'll go over as well. later on. But be free from resentment. When you know who you are, when you know what you do, when you know why you do it, when you know your purpose, when you know where you've come from, when you know where you're going, there is no reason for you to hold anything in your body, because you know the essence of your core, because you understand your roots, you understand the system of which you navigate. Ma'at is a system to navigate from. African-centeredness is a system to navigate from. This isn't about debating or who knows more intellectually. This is about you getting yourself together so you can be a leader in your community, a prime example in your community, to your children, to your spouse, to your friends, to your mother, to your father, to your grandmother, to your grandfather, your aunts and your uncles. So you can be the nucleus, the macro and the micro, as above, so below. You can be a beneficial representation to that which is connected to you, because you are not a single entity. As I said, the community was here before you. Before you came into existence, there was already a community. And then you were born, and there was still community. When you transition, there's going to be community. How do you leave your imprint on your community is a staple in your character. What will people forget about transitioning in present day, in the now, when people come across you and they leave you, what will they say about you behind closed doors? Will they say that you're awesome? Will they say they love being around you? Will they say you're so this, you're so that? What will they say about you because of how you're leading yourself? And not because of what society is telling you, not because of an algorithm, but because you have grounded in who you are culturally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. I am going to close with this last part. Now I'm going back to the Ma'at philosophy. And this is on page 139. It says, "I have not acted or judged hastily. If you are prejudiced even before someone speaks, how can you learn? It is impossible. Your own ignorance, which you are holding on to with your ego, will lead you into unfathomable miseries. Therefore, listen whenever the truth is spoken, and you will receive divine grace in the form of wisdom and spiritual realization." The following verse from the teachings of Ptahhotep bring to mind the idea of listening and how it leads to divine realization. "He who hears is beloved by God. He whom God hates does not hear. The heart makes of its owner a hearer or non-hearer. Man's heart is his life, prosperity, health. Man's heart is his life, prosperity, and health. Ankh Uja Seneb. Man's heart is his life, prosperity, and health. Ankh Uja Seneb. Ankh, life, Uja, prosperity. Seneb, health. The hearer is one who hears what is said. He who loves to hear is one who does what is said. How good for a son to listen to his father. How happy is he to whom it is said, the son he pleases as a master of hearing. The hearer of whom this is said, he is well endowed and honored by his father. His remembrance is in the mouth of the living. His remembrance is in the mouth of the living, those on earth and those who will be. The heart, and in our culture, the ab or the ib, the heart, may your heart be as light as a feather, ma'at. The heart was considered to be the mind. May your heart be as light as a feather. The heart or mind is either the source of all prosperity, health, happiness, and well-being, or it can be the source of pain, suffering, and anguish. Therefore, if one listens to the teachings and takes them to heart, be free from resentment under the experience of wrong. Be free from resentment under the experience of persecutions. Number 7 and 8, virtues of Ma'at. Therefore, if one listens to the teachings and takes them to heart by living them, then they will lead to divine grace. He who hears is beloved of God in spiritual enlightenment, because righteous living, listening to, and living by the teachings of righteousness leads to the purity of heart, ma'akeru. The purity of your mind, ma'akeru. Right speech, right action, right thought. Again, how does Ma'at purify you? Through these virtues, because she helps you and guides you to look at yourself so you are able to remove any type of blinder that either you have put upon yourself, because we do that. We also create delusions and illusions about who we are because we don't want to be wrong sometimes, or it might be too painful to understand that we're not always right. And it helps us to look at how we really are not alone. It's not always just about us. We really do have a connection to everything around us. It said it earlier. Ma'at is the one who provides the relentless order of the universe, which allows the world with its land, water, air, and fire to sustain human existence. And it is Ma'at who provides these for the fortunate and the less fortunate. We are all a part of this together. We are not different. We cannot sit up here and say to ourselves that we don't want to claim who we are because we are afraid of holding other people accountable. But holding people accountable because we're holding ourselves accountable is so easy to point blame at other people versus look at yourself and say, well, how can I do better? What can I do to be better? Where can I start? And you start by looking at yourself in the mirror, being gentle with who you are, and just saying, there are some things I know that I need to work on, and start working on them. It's just that simple. It don't gotta be one, be everything at once. Just pick one. This is why those 42 laws of Ma'at are there. And those 42 laws, they say when you, as you're petitioning Ma'at, you just pick one. When I teach the Rasa Ikki Kemetic courses and we go over the 42 laws of Ma'at and I have my students go over them, I have them work one virtue. Work one that you know when you read it, you're like, ooh, yeah, that one right there, I'm not good at that. Read that one every day and pay attention to yourself. Become self-aware. You want to talk about woke and consciousness? Be woke about who you are yourself, because you're mindful and you're aware of what you're doing. Be conscious of who you are. Not necessarily what you're reading. Be conscious of who you are, how you're walking. What is your spiritual carbon footprint in your environment, in your home, in your house? What you got going on in your house, in your consciousness, in your mind, in your heart? Can you weigh your heart today and it's going to be light as a feather? Don't worry about when you transition. Right now, in the moment, can you say my heart is as light as a feather? So, the intention and the structure and the voice of this platform, it can go in any direction, but I wanted to be able to provide a space for people to feel supported in their own personal growth, to feel supported in what they're practicing, to understand that your practice can go as deep as you want it to go, and your practice can heal you. Your practice is to make you realize that you are a spiritual, strong, divine entity, and you were placed on this planet in this now for a very strong and intentional, again, I'm going to say that strong and intentional reason. and the illusion, or they say Maya, the illusion of this world, even though some of us may look certain ways, it's all tribe, and there's nothing wrong with you claiming your tribe and being able to break bread amongst others. But understand what your core belief is. Use Ma'at to help you discern and define your core belief and strengthen yourself so that way you can stand on her square, stand on your square. I thank you so much for joining me, whatever time frame, whenever you tune in. I appreciate your listening ear. And if you have any questions or any feedback or comments, please do email me at houseofnekbet@gmail.com. I am going to be starting the Kemetic Tree of Life study group via Zoom September 11th at 7:30. If you are interested in that, and you want to join the class, we're going to be reading the Kemetic Tree of Life by Muwatta Ashby. Please also send me an email and I will send you that information. If you want to check out my website for services, you can go to www.soultreehealth.com. If you are in the Cleveland area, I am a massage and bodywork practitioner and an energy work practitioner. I do also distant healing work, so you can always book a session with me through there. Thank you so much for, again, joining me. I hope everyone has a beautiful moment, day, night, morning, a.m. And until the next time, Shem Imhotep, be well.